Imagine being invited into like the absolute heart of a tech empire. You're walking into a room where literally billions of tokens are being processed every single day.
Right, the real epicenter.
Yeah. And just to ground that, I mean, a token is essentially a fragment of human language, right? A word, a syllable, maybe a piece of code.
Exactly.
And these machines are ingesting the entire written history of humanity, all to build artificial general
The
intelligence.
holy grail of the industry.
Right, a machine that can think, reason, and act across any domain exactly like a human being. So, the creators of this world-changing technology have brought you in as a special guest. They're sitting there, probably anticipating praise for their astonishing advancements.
They're expecting a nice, polite talk about art and machines collaborating.
Exactly. But instead, you stand up, you look these architects dead in the eye, and you accuse them of destroying an entire generation's ability to think.
It is such a stunning collision of two completely incompatible worldviews. I mean, walking into the room where the future is supposedly being built and telling the builders that their foundation is fundamentally toxic, that takes a level of conviction you just rarely see in these highly curated corporate spaces.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are unpacking a highly explosive controversy from July of 2026. This involves acclaimed author Dave Eggers and his completely unprecedented speech at OpenAI headquarters.
Unprecedented is the right word.
Right. So our mission today is to explore this massive ideological clash. We're going to understand why the educational system is an absolute free fall because of it, and uncover what this all means for how you, the listener, process information, form your own thoughts, and basically experience your own life. Okay, let's unpack this.
So, to understand the sheer weight of this moment, we really have to look at who is in the room. It's mid-July 2026.
Right.
Dave Eggers is standing in front of Sam Altman and about 200 senior engineers. Now, Eggers is a Pulitzer-nominated author. He founded the literary quarterly McSweeney's. But crucially, for this context, he runs youth literacy nonprofits, specifically 826 National, which helps kids in underprivileged areas learn how to express themselves through writing.
And he's also the author of The Circle, right?
Yes.
Which is a novel that ruthlessly critiqued Silicon Valley's culture of surveillance and like forced transparency. Inviting him to a tech headquarters seems like a massive high-risk gamble.
Oh, absolutely.
You're basically inviting the ultimate skeptic into the sanctuary.
And it was a gamble that backfired spectacularly. He didn't offer any of the expected platitudes. He just looked at the room and stated, "You are silencing an entire generation."
Wow.
And this stems from a really deep-seated ideological divide about what writing actually is.
Yeah.
It's because to a Silicon Valley engineer, writing is a mathematical equation.
Right. It's a friction point to be optimized.
Exactly. The goal is to get from an initial thought to a perfectly polished output as fast as possible.
But to an educator or, you know, an artist like Eggers, the friction isn't a bug. The friction is the entire point. Writing is a painful, challenging process of self-discovery. It's how you organize chaotic thoughts and figure out who you actually are.
That's beautifully put.
I mean, when you face a blank page, you are facing your own subconscious. When you outsource that specific process to an algorithm, you aren't just saving time, you're shopping out your inner voice to a machine.
And the underlying logic there is profound, really. If you view human expression merely as data processing, then sure, a faster processor is always better.
Right.
But if you view expression as the forging of a human identity, then bypassing that process is deeply destructive.
You know, our research included this incredible analogy that really clarified the difference between old technology and generative AI for me.
Oh, let's hear it.
Think about a calculator or Wikipedia. Those tools simplify reaching a goal. You need a historical date, you look it up, you need a math result, you calculate it, you use the tool, and then you move on with your own cognitive work.
Right, this is the process.
Exactly. But generative AI doesn't just help you reach the goal, it devours the goal itself.
Devours it.
Yes. If you ask an AI to write a personal essay about your very first massive failure in life, a machine hasn't helped you articulate your feelings.
Yeah.
It has literally replaced your soul and your lived experience. You've skipped the human part of the equation entirely.
And when you remove the human part of the equation, the systems built to evaluate that humanity just collapse. That philosophical clash in Silicon Valley isn't just theory.
No, it's very real.
It has shattered the foundational agreement of our educational systems worldwide.
Because Eggers told those 200 engineers, you've made every teacher's job untenable. So let's look at the silent disaster happening in classrooms.
Well, education has operated on a very simple, unwritten contract for millennia. The student puts in the cognitive effort to learn, struggle, and create. And the teacher evaluates that effort.
And AI annihilated that contract overnight.
Overnight. A student can now type a 3-word prompt and generate a flawless, grammatically perfect 5-page analytical essay in seconds.
But the student hasn't spent hours wrestling with syntax or, like, struggling to connect abstract concepts.
No, not at all.
And without that struggle, the concept of a grade becomes meaningless. Our sources lay out the timeline of this educational surrender, and seeing the mechanics of how it fell apart year by year is staggering.
It really is.
It started in late 2022 with the public release of ChatGPT. That was the initial shockwave.
Right. Teachers started receiving essays that were bizarrely flawless.
But completely void of the student's unique personality.
Exactly. And that led right into 2023, which was basically the year of futile resistance.
Oh, the bans?
Major school districts in places like New York and Los Angeles attempted flat-out bans. But you cannot ban a technology that lives on every smartphone in a student's pocket.
Right. So then administrators pivoted to quote-unquote integration.
Yeah. Suggesting teachers use AI as a collaborative tool.
Yeah.
But that failed. Because you cannot integrate a machine that does the thinking into an exercise designed to test if the student can think.
Which brings us to 2024, an era our sources call the crisis of trust.
That was a dark time for schools.
Total disaster. This is when AI cheat detectors, software like Turnitin's AI detector, were deployed everywhere. And to understand why it failed, you have to look at how those algorithms actually work. They don't magically know a machine wrote something.
No, they look for mathematical patterns.
Specifically something called perplexity and burstiness.
Right. Burstiness refers to the variation in sentence length and structure.
Okay.
Human writing is typically very bursty. We write a long, complex sentence, followed by a super short one. Perplexity measures how predictable the word choices are.
Got it.
AI models write with low burstiness and low perplexity. They're highly predictable and uniform.
So what happens when a tired, stressed ninth grader writes a highly structured, slightly repetitive, predictable essay?
The detector flags it as AI.
Exactly. The false positive rate skyrocketed. Innocent students were being accused of cheating by a black box algorithm that teachers couldn't even explain. That adversarial dynamic completely destroyed the trust between educators and students.
And the collapse of that trust paved the way for 2025. With the release of vastly more powerful models like GPT-4o and Gemini 1.5, the text became so sophisticated that distinguishing human writing from machine text became impossible.
Even for the detectors.
Even for them. Cheating went from a risk to a completely normalized baseline.
Dropping us right into July 2026. Absolute surrender. Students aren't even bothering to edit the machine-generated text to hide it anymore.
They're just copy-pasting directly.
Yeah. Which makes a specific conversation Eggers had during his visit so devastating.
Oh, the poem. Right. During the event, an OpenAI employee approached Eggers, and they were incredibly proud and excited to share that they'd used ChatGPT to write a poem paying homage to their hometown.
And Eggers just looked at this engineer and asked one simple question. Why didn't you write it yourself?
Yeah. What's fascinating here is the disconnect in what constitutes value. To the engineer, the end product was the goal. Having a poem about their hometown meant the output was achieved.
Problem solved efficiently.
Right. But to a human being, the struggle to find the exact right words to describe that very specific aching homesickness you feel for the streets where you grew up.
Yeah.
That agonizing search for the right adjective is what gives the poem its actual value.
I mean, generating a beautiful poem in 1 second is fundamentally worthless if there is no lived experience, no suffering, and no actual homesickness behind the words.
Exactly.
But if we are completely bypassing that struggle, the wrestling with words and emotions, what is physically happening inside a student's head?
Well, Eggers drew a massive line in the sand regarding this, and it really sparked intense debate. He explicitly stated that there is no safe amount of AI in the humanities for kids under 22.
Under 22.
Specifically when it comes to writing.
Wait, I need to challenge this because I can hear people screaming at their speakers right now.
Go for it.
Isn't using an AI to help code a Python script or like solve a multivariable calculus equation exactly the same thing? Yeah. Why is writing an essay about the Cold War or personal experience singled out as this biological red line?
That's a fair question. The distinction lies in neurobiology. Specifically, the development of the prefrontal cortex.
Okay, the brain science.
Right. This is the region of the brain responsible for complex decision-making, logical reasoning, deep critical thinking, and processing nuanced emotions. Science shows us that the prefrontal cortex is under heavy construction until around the age of 25.
So the hardware isn't fully installed yet.
The wiring is actively being laid down. And the mechanism for laying down that wiring is neuroplasticity. The skills governed by the prefrontal cortex, like linking abstract historical concepts or articulating a complex emotion, they don't just magically manifest.
They have to be built.
They're forged through cognitive friction. When a student stares at a blank page, frustrated, trying to figure out how to transition from one paragraph to another, their brain is literally firing synapses, trying to build a bridge.
Wow.
And when they finally find the word, they get a micro hit of dopamine, and that neural pathway is reinforced.
But if you hand that friction over to a chatbot,
the chatbot builds the bridge.
The student's brain doesn't have to do the work.
So the neural pathway atrophies. Tools for coding or math often act as auxiliary accelerators for a specific objective task. But writing a personal essay or an analytical article is the primary mechanism by which humans internalize subjective concepts.
So by outsourcing the articulation of thought, you are basically halting the evolutionary process of the teenage brain.
They're borrowing words they haven't struggled with, expressing concepts they haven't internalized.
Biologically speaking, we are looking at a generation that appears highly literate on paper, but is entirely hollow inside.
Hollow is a terrifying way to put it, but yes.
And if their brains are being hollowed out by bypassing that friction, that has to show up on the page, right? I mean, you can't fake a fully developed, deeply lived human experience.
No, you cannot fake depth. And Eggers used a really ruthless term for what happens when they try. He called AI writing pastiche garbage.
Ouch.
And a cheap party trick. Pastiche is essentially a blind imitation, a patchwork of existing styles mashed together without a core understanding of what makes them work.
Well, the editorial team at Tekken Gaming actually ran a brilliant experiment to test this pastiche claim. They wanted to establish a human benchmark against the machine.
Right.
So they chose a universal, highly emotional theme, leaving the childhood home forever. They fed this prompt to the most advanced paid version of ChatGPT and then gave the exact same prompt to one of their human writers with zero digital tools allowed.
So man versus machine.
Exactly. And the AI generated its response in 2 seconds. It reads, "Leaving the childhood home is an emotional journey full of nostalgia. The walls of my room in childhood and adolescence witnessed my laughter and tears. Every corner of this house holds a sweet memory."
It just keeps going.
"Now, with a heavy heart but full of hope, I step toward new horizons to begin a new chapter of my life. Goodbye, my safe haven."
Grammatically, it's flawless. But psychologically, it's completely sterile.
It feels like a movie set, you know? Beautifully painted on the front, but if you walk behind it, it's just held up by cheap plywood and there's absolutely nothing inside. It relies on massive cliches. Heavy heart, new horizons, safe haven.
And the mechanics of large language models explain why it writes exactly like this. An LLM is essentially a next word prediction engine.
Right?
It maps out word associations based on statistical probabilities from its massive training data. When people on the internet write about leaving home, they frequently use the words heavy heart. The machine selects those words because they are mathematically the most probable words to follow the prompt. It defaults to the average.
So if the output is just statistical averages, then by definition, AI writing can never be truly original. It can only ever give us the most average, predictable response possible.
Exactly.
Contrast that with the human output, which took 45 minutes of actual cognitive struggling. The human wrote, "I sat on the edge of the bed. The dent in the wall from the doorknob I slammed in anger at my dad years ago was still there. My mother had covered it that same day with an old Pink Floyd poster so I wouldn't see it and feel sad. Now, I had to leave that poster, that hole, and the musty smell of the closet behind forever. My rolling suitcase squeaked on the scratched parquet floor of the room, a sound like nails dragging on a chalkboard."
See, the machine gives you a probability calculation of nostalgia. The human gives you a dent in the wall, an old Pink Floyd poster, a musty closet, and the horrible shriek of a suitcase on scratched parquet.
A machine would never predict a Pink Floyd poster or a dent in the wall because those aren't statistically probable averages. They are messy, specific micro details of a lived life.
Because the machine describes the concept of an emotion. The human is actively living the emotion on the page. Art and literature must reflect the jagged complexities of the human soul, Replace that with a mathematical probability function, and you get pastiche garbage.
Pastiche garbage. And with all of this biological and textual evidence stacking up, the reaction from the architects of this technology is deafening.
Deafening silence.
Yeah. Since that speech in July 2026, Sam Altman and the senior executives at OpenAI have provided zero official response. No policy shifts, no public reflections.
None.
I would have imagined a PR disaster of this magnitude, like a highly respected author coming into your house and accusing you of breaking a generation's brains, would force some kind of defensive statement.
Well, the silence is strategic. Critics point out that responding would draw attention to the underlying marketing trap.
What's the trap?
Trillion-dollar companies are spending fortunes to sell what is essentially a highly advanced autocomplete feature, but they're marketing it as a replacement for human cognition.
Wow.
They're packaging the avoidance of mental effort as a luxury technological upgrade.
The tech giants can afford to stay silent, but the schools cannot. The educational system is panicking and taking extreme emergency actions because they are completely backed into a corner. We're witnessing a massive regression in how education is administered just to ensure human beings are actually doing the thinking.
We really are. Many prestigious European universities have completely eliminated take-home exams. They are reverting to blue book exams in person, pen and paper booklets, administered in halls with zero internet access. Mm. Furthermore, they're demanding on-the-spot oral defenses.
Like a thesis defense, but for a regular paper.
Exactly. A student has to sit in front of a panel and verbally defend the arguments in their paper to prove they actually conceptualize the ideas themselves.
And professors are also completely overhauling how they grade. They no longer care about the polished final PDF. They are grading based on initial drafts, file version histories, and all the messy, chaotic stages of research.
Which is a huge shift.
But I have to wonder about the logistics and fairness of that, though. Like, yeah. What if I'm just a chaotic thinker? What if my rough drafts are totally incomprehensible, but my final thought is brilliant? Is it fair to grade my mess?
Well, the professors argue they have no choice. The polished final thought can be synthetically generated in 2 seconds. The mess is the only remaining proof of humanity.
They're forced to grade the friction itself.
Because the statistics from early 2026 show the alternative is total cognitive collapse. Over 78% of American college students admitted to using unedited AI content generation for major assignments.
78% of students letting a machine do their thinking. And alongside that, the rate of long-form reading among those same students plummeted by 40% since 2022.
That drop in long-form reading is the canary in the coal mine for linear reasoning. Reading a 300-page book requires immense cognitive stamina. You have to hold a complex architecture of ideas, characters, and arguments in your working memory over days or weeks.
And an AI-generated three-bullet summary requires zero cognitive stamina.
Zero.
By abandoning long-form reading, they are losing the ability to track a premise through nuance and contradiction to arrive at a solid conclusion. They're basically losing the mental endurance required for critical analysis.
And that brings us right back to the core of Egger's warning. When we beg machines to produce our content, summarize our books, and write our emails, we become silent observers of our own existence.
So what does this all mean for you? You, the person listening to this deep dive right now, it is incredibly tempting to outsource a tough email to your boss, or a complex weekly report, or even like a heartfelt anniversary message to an AI.
It's so easy.
But ask yourself, are you becoming a passive consumer in your own life?
Yeah.
By avoiding the pain and the friction of writing, by avoiding the struggle of figuring out exactly what you believe and how you want to say it, are you destroying your own joy of internal discovery?
Are you letting an algorithm live your complex emotions for you?
Writing is fundamentally about expressing our existence. It is the proof that we are here and that we feel things deeply. We cannot afford to trade that fundamental human right for a few lines of code and the illusion of efficiency.
No, we can't. The overarching goal of human innovation should not be to build machines that mimic human thought perfectly.
Right.
The goal must be to build humans who never stop thinking.
We have to protect the friction that makes us who we are. Which leaves me with one final lingering thought I really want you to mull over today. We just explored how global universities are being forced into drastic emergency measures, reverting to pen and paper blue books, demanding in-person oral defenses, isolating students entirely from the cloud.
All just to verify that a human being actually knows something.
Exactly. If the foundational institutions of learning have to go backward to find the truth, how long until the corporate world follows suit?
That's the real question.
Think about it. Will we soon see a future where the ultimate most highly paid premium skill on your resume isn't how well you can prompt an AI, but your ability to sit in a stark room, completely locked away from the internet, and prove you can form an original, messy, brilliant thought with nothing but a pen and your own mind. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.